بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين إنه خير ناصر ومعين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين First of all, I welcome all of you for this special program. I always appreciate our youngsters to learn more about Islam, to gain the knowledge about true Islam. The speeches which we had past nights, normally it's almost one way. The reciter will recite, and the way which we have majalis is never allow our youths or our intellectuals to ask questions and raise some issues which they are facing in society. Beside that majalis, we need to have certain kinds of programs like this, which is normally unusual in our society. It is not so popular. You can easily understand the way we started today. We're supposed to start on sharp 11, and now it's almost 40 minutes late, but still we don't have gathering which we are expecting. But according to Quran, قُومُوا مَثْنَا وَفُرَادَى Raise, even you are two or you are one, alone. According to Quranic principles, we should not bother about our numbers, how much we are. We should always think, what is our responsibility, and we have to fulfill that. And always results are not in our hands. Whatever is going on to happen, we can't even predict. Everything in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ask us about the result. All Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expect from us about our responsibilities, how we fulfilled our responsibility. So always we have to ponder and we have to look after what responsibilities we are carrying and how we can fulfill that responsibility. And all these gatherings during Muharram and Safar, and even after that, is supposed to direct us towards our responsibilities, which is most important. And even Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, who made such a tremendous revolution just after 50 years after departure of our noble prophet, is all because of negligence by ulama and intellectuals at that time. If you ponder on our Islamic books, especially collected by our Shia scholars, we have a very authentic book called Tuhaful Uqul. Tuhaful Uqul is a very authentic book which gathers the sayings of all 14 infallibles, in which the khutbah and the sermon delivered by our Imam, our third Imam, in Mecca, it is clearly mentions that how our responsibility is great and we have a lot of responsibility towards our society. The slogan which is very famous and we all aware, the kullu yawmin ashura wa kullu ardin karbala, every day is ashura and every land is karbala, itself shows a lot of things to us, but we shout from our mouth, but almost we are not pondering on what we are shouting through our mouth. It's very important. And to be frank, I'm not here to just praise you and tell something which makes you happy and then I go back to my own work. It's not our duty. Always all the prophets and imams, those who came to guide the society, all of them, they pointed the weak points which we have in our society and the problems which we are facing in society, and they were trying to solve somehow according to the situations how they had. And similarly, all ulamas, they carrying same responsibilities. We are not separate from prophets and we are not separate from imams. We have to follow their footsteps. The major thing which we are facing today is proper explanation of the revolution of Karbala. Unfortunately, the rituals we are commemorating, although it's affecting a lot in our changes, and every Muharram we face that many people will enter into our society and many will change themselves. But the effect, the real effect which we have to take from these ritual things, from these gatherings, and unfortunately still we are not taking it. And we are about 10% and 15% we are benefiting out of these gatherings. And almost 85% and more than that we are losing it. Just because of certain thinking which we have in our mind and certain, it is because of not awakening ourselves. The situation in our society we have is something like confined, never allow us to openly discuss. And in fact, if a sick person hide his sickness from the doctor, what may happen to that person? The sickness will raise and raise, and he may pass away from this world, he may depart from this world. A lot of sickness, a lot of problems we are facing in our society, especially in our family affairs, in our economical conditions and social behavior, we have a lot of problems. We all aware of these problems. In our masajid, in our gatherings, always we are preaching to the persons, like we are asking to a person who already praying to pray. We are inviting to persons who are already keeping fast, and we are asking them to keep fast. The persons who are already going to Hajj, we are asking them to go to Hajj. We are explaining about the importance of Hajj, importance of fasting, importance of khums and importance of zakat and all those things, which is essential, but we are insisting on those things which already our people are aware. How many khutbah, how many sermons we have in our mosque about our family affairs, which we are suffering? How many sermons or how many lectures we have in our gatherings about our economical condition and our political situation, how we should be and how we are? How many lectures we have? Is it not our problem? Is it not we have to ponder on? So that makes us more responsible, that if we are associate with our imams, which they insisted almost to fulfill all our responsibilities, and if we ponder about ourselves, how we are behaving, it's shameful for us. It's very difficult to say this, that we are so far away from the way which is shown by our imams. Any land or any day can be a day of Ashura, any land can be a land of Karbala. What is the meaning of this slogan? The meaning is everywhere you find the Yazids in different forms. You need to understand who is the Yazid of the day. Otherwise, if we curse the Yazid who is passed away 1400 years ago, we may not get that much reward. If we are shouting, if we are pelting the pebbles on the shaitan in Jamarat, that is not shaitan. That is a wall now, the thick wall, the whitened. Anybody can go and pelt the pebbles there. That's not a big issue. But it's a symbol that once you are pelting a pebble on this shaitan, means you need to understand who is the shaitan now. The present shaitan you need to understand. If you are cursing on Yazid, it's not a person. It's an ideology. We have to curse on the ideology of Yazid, the thinking of Yazid, the whole entire Yazidiyat we have to curse, not just a person. Because while Imam Hussein was asking allegiance, hand of allegiance, what he replied? Mithli la yubayi'u mithla. Like me, never give hand of allegiance to like Yazid. Meaning, whoever want to be a Hussein, like Hussein, whoever want to be with the revolution of Imam Hussein, they should be against Yazidiyat of their day. So now, many times, we may accept the rulership of Yazidiyat, which is against Islam, and we still curse Yazid. That's what's happening. More than 55 countries, we have Islamic countries. I cannot say them Islamic countries. All I can say is they are Muslim countries. There are differences between Muslim countries and Islamic countries. Muslim is one who call himself as a Muslim. Nowadays, what we can observe. Islam is something different. If we call any country an Islamic country, means the country who is really following the Islamic principles. Their constitution supposed to be Islamic, taken from Quran and Ahadith. That is called Islamic country. Hardly we are finding one or two now. They are also having their own lot of problems. But almost the other countries are Muslim countries. They have their constitution itself is not taken from Quran. And they are also not following, the rulers especially, they are so close to Taghut. The oppressors, almost they are with them. Their lifestyle is not Islamic. And they also admitted this. They know that they are not Islamic. They are not behaving Islamically. Quran is insisting this, that if a person is a true believer, can fight against 200 disbelievers. In other words, A true believer can fight against 20 disbelievers. So why the difference? In one verse we have 200, in other verse we have 20. Why the difference? The difference is not because of the strength of the enemy. The difference is because of this, the weakness of ourselves. We should not bother that our enemies are too strong. No, there is no superpower in this world except the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah's power can work in this world. We all believe strongly in this. But what makes us thinking that we are weak? That our iman is weak. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Clearly mentioned in Nahjul Balagha that لا يخافن أحدكم إلا ذنبا. None of you should fear of anything except by your own sins. If we are good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are the true believer, we should not fear of anything, though we are few in numbers. That's what we are taking lessons out of the revolution of Imam Hussein in Karbala. How much they were? They were hardly 72 or maybe a bit less. Our list we have in about the Shuhada Karbala, the martyrs of Karbala, is 128 approximately. And why it is famous as 72? Because the soldiers who fought in the battlefield were 72. And there were other martyrs who already gave away their lives out of the battlefield. So totally, approximately, we may have 128. And the 72 is famous because of the soldiers and the commanders who fought in the battlefield. Few numbers against the minimum which we have in opponent. It is mentioned in different traditions up to 30,000, and the maximum was 125,000. So let's take, wa alaikum salam, let's take the minimum. 30,000 is in one side and just 72 in other side. So everybody was aware of the result. Even Imam Hussein, from the beginning day, while he departed from Medina, he mentioned that we are not going to take over the land, or we are not going to rule over the nation, we are not going to just to have our position, to take over our position. No, we are going to die. It's clearly he mentioned, whoever want to be with us, let you make clear that we are going to die. The death is ahad. In different occasions he mentioned clearly that whoever have intentions other than this, leave us alone. We can go and fulfill our responsibility. We no need the persons who are having some bad intention in their mind, and we want the pure blood in the pure land to preserve Islam. That was the clear message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So it tells us now, after 1400 years, that we should not bother about the numbers. All we have to think that what responsibility we are carrying, and that we have to fulfill. So honestly we have to think and we have to ponder that what mistakes we are doing, and we have to correct that mistakes. So that we all human beings, everywhere anything can happen. So it's better to ponder on our mistakes instead of pointing others' mistakes. We always think that others are bad and we are good. So we are going to Jannah. Of course, the Jannah and the heaven made for us. There is no doubt. But in which part of Jannah? Which part of heaven we are going? We want to go. It is mentioned in traditions that all children below their maturity age, they will go to Jannah. They will. Right? And all those who can't think, like the mad people, they will go to Jannah. So if somebody puts you in the gathering of children, just children, for hours, what may happen to you? You may feel uncomfortable. You are not comfortable with just being with children. are in a mental hospital. You may not survive even half an hour. So they are going to Jannah, and we are also going there. So in which part? There are different areas in Jannah, like how we have in different areas here. There's a slum area and a posh area. In Jannah also we have different areas. So the slum area is that area where the mad people will live. So are we ready to go there? Just being a Muslim, being a Shia, being the follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, I think it's a minimum reward that you will go to Jannah after getting punishment in Barzakh, whatever we did here. Because Allah is just. It's not, we cannot even imagine that Allah will send a person who is all his life he did committing sin and he may expect the Jannah in a better place. It's not possible. Because Allah is just. We believe strongly in this beliefs that Allah is just. There is a place called in Jannat, it is mentioned in Quran, Jannatu Adnin. Adn. It's a posh area in Jannat, in which our prophets, our imams live there. Whoever passed away among us, we pray for them that O Allah grant them the place in neighborhood of our imams. Jawari Aimma me jagadu. That's we pray. So where is that? That is the posh area, Jannat Adn. It's a very peaceful area. So even in being in Jannah, being in heaven, many people can't enter into that area because they don't have such eligibility. So we are eager to go to Jannah, but we are not aware where we have to be there and which place we are intend to go. So just going to Jannah, it's maybe enough that we are Shia, we believe strongly on our imams, on Quran, and we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those things, that may be enough to go to Jannah. But to be in that area, in that particular area of Jannah, we need to work a lot. The all lands in any city is equal. Why we have some areas are slum and some other areas are posh? Why? Because of the neighborhood. Because the neighborhood are very sincere and kind, so you have to pay the price. So if you want to be with imams, you need to pay the price. The price you have to pay is here, not there. One, it is mentioned that while our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Went to Mi'raj and he saw some angels constructing. They were busy in construction. And after a while, they were relaxing. He asked Jibreel that why they have to relax? Because the angels not supposed to like human being. They should work constantly. Jibreel replied, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, they are waiting for the material from that world. So, Jannat is not a thing which is already constructed and ready. We have to build the Jannat from here. So what we build here, we will face there and we will take there, we will take that position there. So we should not expect more than what we do here. It's a clear message, you know. It's a logical, easy to understand that what we are doing here, the similar thing we can face in that world. And that is the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if we made a small thing, Ya man yu'til kathira bil qaleel. In dua of Rajab, you recite this dua, very particular, very important sentence. Ya man yu'til kathira bil qaleel. We offer 2 rakat prayer, which is very little. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding a lot. That is the merciness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the rahmaniyat and rahimiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a different issue. But we should not expect more than what we are doing here in that world. So it's left to us that we have to find out what is our problem, the first thing. The second, what may be the solution. The third, we have to put our ideas into action. to correct our society and try to be very closer to our imams. That is called the revolution of Karbala. No other message. This is the message. The imam in sermon he delivered in Mecca, he gathered all ulamas at that time and great sahabis and intellectuals. He asked particularly to gather all of those persons who are living in Mecca. He invited especially, it was the VIP gathering. The sermon of Imam Hussein in Mecca, we have to open the classes. Apart from these majalis, what we have, this is essential. This majalis we have to keep. After the revolution of Iran, many people came and they expressed their views that the majalis, the philosophy behind the majalis was to make a revolution. We already have revolution, then no need to keep these majalis. Imam Khomeini, what he replied, you know, the thing which help us to make a revolution, the same thing will help us to keep this revolution alive. So what we have is because of Muharram and Safar, because of these majalis. So we have to keep this alive. There is no doubt in it, and we have to promote it. Every year we need to make it better and better. That's our responsibility. But beside that, we need to have certain programs like what we have today, as well as we should have opened the classes to discuss about the sermons delivered by Imam Hussein from Medina till Karbala. So what was the sayings of Imam Hussein? So we can understand the philosophy behind the revolution. In that sermon, he gathered only VIPs. It's a very important sermon in Mecca. He gathered only VIPs, the intellectuals, the ulamas. And what he said, you know, he said, do you know why Yazid is now in that position? Yazid is now in that position because of you. Because of you ulama, because of you intellectuals. Why? If you were alone, you were fulfilling your responsibilities, he's not supposed to be like that. Yazid not came just overnight. It has a lengthy history. Abu Sufyan tried to destroy Islam being outsider. While he realized that he can't make it, he became Muslim. He embraced Islam and entered into his Islamic world. And now he played a very important role to control the Islamic nations. Even just after the departure of our noble prophet, the majority, they elected or they selected somebody who not supposed to be in that position. At that time, Abu Sufyan came to Imam Ali, and he was aware of all things which was happening in that society. He came to Imam Ali and said, if you are ready to oppose, I will help you. Why not you are opposing? Because it's your right. What Imam Ali replied, I know, I am aware of my rights. But since when you became very close to me? Since when you became sincere to me? So he was aware of his intention. Abu Sufyan wanted to create a rift within the society so the Jews and the Christians can benefit it. And again the old age, the paganism will come back and he may become a leader of them. So that was the purpose. But Imam Ali, by giving such a great sacrifice, being kept aside during 25 years, he preserved Islam. It's not always that we have to be in the position to preserve Islam. Sometimes we need to be away from the society. We need to keep ourselves beside the society, not involving, not taking a position. That is a sacrifice. That kind of sacrifice Islam needs. You understand? That is the real sacrifice. Imam Hussein in this sermon, he mentioned clearly that Yazid is now calling himself as a Khalifatul Muslimin is not because of himself, because of you ulama and you intellectuals. You never take position and you never objected while Muawiyah became declared himself as a Khalif. What you were doing? Imam Ali was asking you to join him to destroy this ideology, but you were making some excuses that now this is the winter season, this is the summer season, many of us passed away, we lost many our personalities, our family members, so we don't want to have another war in our society. Many, many excuses, and now Muawiyah took position. You know, before the Battle of Siffin, Muawiyah particularly, purposely, he led the prayer of Jummah in the day of Wednesday. He led the prayer of Jummah on Wednesday, and it was no objection in society, and sent a person to Imam Ali, tell him that the persons we have, they have no objections while I lead the prayer of Jummah in the day of Wednesday. Meaning what? Meaning there is no more Islam. People are not sensitive about Islamic principles. While people are not that much sensitive, Imam Ali can't lead over them. You know, there should be a similarity between rulers and the nation. If nation all are the persons who are not Islamically alert, then a true person and a person pious like Imam Ali can't lead over them. You cannot expect them. The leaders are among the nation, and nation are like leaders. So it is two things which is cooperate each other. So what happened, Imam Ali? I mentioned in the end period of Imam Ali, he raised his hand and he asked Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to take him away from this nation. Why? Because that nation was not cooperating with Imam Ali alayhi salam. They were not fulfilling the responsibilities, and they were not aware of the personality like Imam Ali. So Imam Hussein said in his sermon clearly that Yazid is now because of you. You signed the act of Muawiyah at that time, and now you have to suffer. It was amazed that at that time Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam leaving Hajj and converting it into Umrah, an entire Islamic nation was again still entering into Hajj, and they were not thinking that why the grandson of noble prophet is left Hajj. Something should be serious. They were just sleeping and they were busy with the ritualistic thing. Why our Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam in his sermon, why he introduced himself as I am the son of Mecca, I am the son of Mina, I am the son of Zamzam and Safa? Why? Because if you are going for pilgrimage, without us there is no more pilgrimage, there is no more Hajj. He wanted to mention that those who were busy with the Hajj rituals, leaving Imam Hussein alone, their Hajj is invalid. Because you are busy with the ritualistic thing, and now the Yazid became Khalifa. And what is the use of that Hajj? While you are accepting Yazid as a ruler, what Hajj is that? Even Safwan, one of the companions of our sixth Imam, he was lending camels to the rulers at that time, the Abbasids. He came to Imam, can I do that? He asked the masala, the Islamic law. Imam said, no. So why? Because he explained that, are you not praying to the person who took your camels that he should come back safe so he can pay your rent? said, yes, I have to. In my heart, I have such thinking. Then Imam said, even that thinking about the oppressors is not allowed in Islam. Meaning what? You have to feel some enmity against the oppressors. That is called tabarra. That is called tabarra. What it is, one of the obligatory things which we need to promote in our society. In conclusion, I want to say that what we are facing in our society is not because of Islamic principles. It's because of being us irresponsible towards the Islamic principles. If we aware what is our responsibility and try to fulfill that, then we should have the better society, very closer to society which our imams like to have that. It was a hadith, somebody was asking a few days ago, that if we had 313 true believers, our imam will reappear. So it's clearly message that we don't have such 313 true believers. I explained that the hadiths are different. We have different hadiths in different numbers. Even if we believe that 313, it doesn't mean the true believers. 313 commanders like Imam Khomeini. Because our Imam, while he reappears, he needs commanders to rule over the globe. Some should rule in some country in different parts of the world. We need to have certain personalities. Or do we have certain personalities? 313? Hardly we can find 10, 15 like Maharaj. They can rule. So that was the purpose behind this hadith, that the philosophy behind these 313 members, that we need to promote certain talents. So we have a lot of work then. So we can't sleep even. If once we realize how much responsibility in our shoulder is, we cannot even sleep that much. If we are sleeping until now 8 hours per day, like within 24 hours, now we need to sleep only 4 hours. So we need to work another 4 hours. We need to add that another 4 hours to work ourselves, to build ourselves, to make ourselves eligible to take that position which Imam, inshallah, may grant that position to us. You understand? So we have a lot of responsibility towards our society, and in all terms, some people came very late, we are talking almost about the things which we are already committing that, like about prayer, about fasting, about Hajj, about homes, about zakat. We are talking about a lot which already we are fulfilling somehow, but we are ignoring the lot of issues which we are facing, like our family affairs, like our social affairs, like our political affairs, like our economical problems. We are facing a lot, but we are not discussing the Islamic point, within the Islamic point of view, what the Islamic stands about those issues. So we need to ponder on what is our responsibility and how we can fulfill it. For this purpose, inshallah, we have this kind of gathering, and I hope that beside this type of gathering, we need to have throughout the year, not only during Muharram and Safar, in the course of other months also, we need to have certain programs like seminars or symposiums. We need to create these things to promote the true Islam in our society, inshallah, and also to invite others to know our ideology. Recite Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We started a bit late, and I am sure that we need to finish within the 1 o'clock is the azan. Okay, within 1 o'clock. So we have almost 45 minutes, 44 minutes to have question answer session. Question can be in Urdu or can be in English or in Persian. I think almost we have Urdu speakers here again. Few English, okay. So the common language you prefer, English or Persian?
No, English.
English is better. So all the Farsi speakers can understand English?
I think so, yes.
Good, alhamdulillah. So my English is okay? Yeah. Astaghfirullah. I need to polish my English still. I'm working on it. I hope that I am able to convey the message. That's enough. Alhamdulillah, so far we have one or two important points I want to mention before the question answer session. Please listen it very carefully. The questions which you are coming to me, it's not necessary to answer all of them because I am not that much knowledgeable. Some, maybe certain questions, I may not aware of that. So I need some time to research and give answer to you, the first thing. The second thing, I don't prefer the questions which is historical or something like what is the name of the prophet, mother of Prophet Musa. There is no use of it. Whatever the name, what is the purpose, what is the use of that? So I need the question which is which promote our thinking power. So that is most important. The historical facts, you can go and read any book, you can get it. So now we are here, we should utilize the time as a maximum. We should benefit within the time, limited time which we have. So that questions I prefer that which we are not finding easily in books. That's most important. And thirdly, I don't want to misunderstand something happening in misunderstanding. Almost it will happen. It's our experience that if we explain something within the limited time, sometimes we may do some mistake in explanation, or sometimes you may receive some wrong message. I don't want this to, because we all are true believers and we are the followers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam here, right? And no, none of us are against Imam Hussein. If we explain certain things which is real fact, if sometimes we may not understand that, or sometimes I may not explain properly, it doesn't mean that we are against Azadari or we are against Imam Hussein. Certain thinking, it happened before. So sincerely, if we are not able to understand or we are not able to convey, we can have another session or individually can come and explain further about that particular matter. And I don't want to raise the issues which is complicated almost, and because we already suffer a lot because of those complications. I don't want to let the community suffer more. You understand? The major thing is we need to understand the true message of Karbala and we need to promote that thing in our society. That's the purpose of these gatherings. So if certain questions I may not answer, please don't mind, and inshallah time will come to answer those questions, or maybe the higher status ulama may come and answer you inshallah. The first question, a Muslim who cheats other Muslim brother, what are the consequences? What if the one who is cheated does not raise voice? This question, the answer is within the question. The Muslim who is cheating other Muslim, is we can't call him as a Muslim even. There is a hadith by our noble prophet, Man Asbaha. Listen it carefully. Man asbaha walam yahtamma bi umuril muslimin falaysa bi muslim. One who wakes up and not bother about the affairs of Muslim, he is not at all a Muslim. And not talking about cheating, talking about the person who is careless about the Muslim affairs, that person is not Muslim. And what about the person who cheat other Muslims? So inshallah, we hope that our Muslim brothers not only cheats the other Muslims, even we are not allowed to cheat even non-Muslims. This is the character which was preached by our noble prophet, that you have to behave with anyone, any human being, as a Muslim. So he can convert, he can embrace Islam. That's how Islam spread in this earth. A person came to our noble prophet and start shouting against him. And our noble prophet was just listening. After a while, our noble prophet said, Salamun alaikum. So what does he mean? He said, this is the salutation. We Muslims, before we start talking, we used to say this. Meaning, you are assured, you are not harmful. You are not a person, you can, I'm not going to harm you before I start talking to you. So this is the message. So the Muslims supposed to behave like that even with non-Muslims. If he start cheating to other Muslim brothers, it's a great sin. And definitely you need to raise your voice. Definitely you need to try to correct him in a smart way, not creating problem in our society. As much we can, we have to use the smart way, the smartest way to correct the other Muslim brother. I think I was able to reply this question, right? Okay, whenever I finish one question, at least you have to recite a salawat. There are a lot of questions and time is very less. And for unfortunately for such questions, we need to have some time. How is sin defined in Islam? What are pardonable and impardonable sins? Okay. Sins, you know, fortunately we have halal things more than haram things. Everything is halal except which is mentioned as haram. So the haram list is very less. The sin is, it is mentioned in the authentic books. I mentioned in one of the speeches that the gunahane kabira, which is there. There are two types of sins. We have one gunahane kabira, greater sin, and the major sin and the minor sin, right? So if a person committing sin purposely, intentionally, that carries more punishment. And sometimes it will happen, like if unintentionally a person commits sin, so he can make tawbah and Allah will accept it. We mentioned in several lectures that Allah is Arhamur Rahimin, but we should not think that because Allah is Arhamur Rahimin, we can commit sin. No, we have to protect ourselves as much we can, and if something happens, so we have to come and all sins, major or minor, are pardonable because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Arhamur Rahimin. Except shirk. Shirk is something which takes you out of the Islamic border. You know, you cannot be Muslim and still be being shirk. And let me explain this very important thing about shirk, that we have two types of shirk. One shirk is shirk jali, means very clear, transparent, which is believing the partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is unpardonable, and is the punishment is hell, fire of hell. There is no doubt in it. But there are certain kinds of shirk we call shirk khafi. Like if you pray and your qiraat is very nice, you make your qiraat very nice, so the other people will listen and say, oh, how qiraat of this person is. So that is called riya. Riya is also a kind of shirk, but this shirk is pardonable, and we need to make tawbah always and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and grant us tawfiq to not committing this smaller and shirk khafi, inshallah. So the all major and minor sins are pardonable once we are sincere enough and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Idol worship is definitely shirk. Because you are believing some other force other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a Rabb, means as a Lord. So that is a shirk.
So I might offend some people and what I've been noticing for past 10 years, I'm coming to Simambara, I see photo worship here. Like, I see photographs around. So is this not idol worship?
This is not idol, it's a photo.
Yeah, right. But any kind of idol.
I'm telling you, what is idol worship? And what is having photo? This is the Wahhabi lobby, unfortunately. What they said, just having photo is haram, bidat, shirk. Having alam is haram, bidat, shirk. Going to holy shrines are haram, bidat, shirk. Why? Because it derives you from the tawheed. It keeps you away from tawheed. Let me explain this very important point. If the food is poison, what we have to do? We have to leave eating, or we need to change the food, or we have to make aware that this food is poison. Okay, come to this point. Why they are telling telling that having pictures are haram, having alam is haram, because they said in olden age, first they start having picture of their forefathers, and then slowly it went to idol worship. So because these having pictures end up with idol worship, so having pictures are haram. Okay. So if the food is poison, so eating is haram. It's similarly like that. If food is poison, we need to make person aware that this food is poison, so you need to take another food. Instead of that, they said food is haram. So if a person, by watching the photos or by going nearby alam, is and they end up with idol worship, so we need to make them aware that what you are watching is just an image, a photo. It's not God. What we are giving respect is alam. It's not God, it's not Imam. This is not Imam. Like the same cloth, the same metal, while it was in the store, we never respect. Once it came to the particular place and related to some, because of the importance of that personalities, we are giving respect. Just, we are giving respect. We are not giving respect to this metal, or we are not giving respect to this cloth. We are giving respect to our Imams. So this symbolized replica is just is a replica. If somebody believes that this is Imam, it's totally shirk. Just like how if they somebody go to Mecca and believes that this is God, totally shirk. So we surround the Kaaba believing that this is a replica and this is not God. Similarly, this is the symbol and replica of our Imams and not the God. Our marja, few marjas, they said you should be aware that you should not like, we have two kinds of sajda, prostration. One is sajda ta'zimiyya, we call, in the respect, the kind of respect, how the angels did to Adam. This is not, angels never did sajda to Adam, they did sajda to Allah. It is respecting Adam. So how we going to our holy shrines and bowing ourselves, we are not committing shirk. We are doing sajda to our Imam. No, not at all. We are respecting Imam and we are doing sajda to Allah alone. This is our beliefs, right? So our marja said you have to control yourself so the others should not feel that you are doing sajda and these things. You have to respect our Imams and you have to explain your beliefs before you do in front of somebody else, right? So it is clear, let me tell this very important thing that our Sharafuddin Amuli, while he was in Mecca at that time, I mentioned in this speech, he gave a gift of Quran, a copy of Quran, binded with leather, pure leather, gift to the king. King took it and kissed. And suddenly he said, shirk. He said, why? How come it's shirk? So you kissed the leather. And he replied, no, I'm not kissed the leather. I kissed to the Quran. What is inside the leather? He said, similarly we are doing in holy shrines, for which you are calling shirk. So we are not kissing the metal. We are kissing the nisbat, the relationship between that metal and the Imams. So it's very clear. So once you are, if this picture and this metal and this alam is driving you and guiding you towards the idol worship, it means you need guidance, not the change of that particular thing. Similarly, how we need guidance not to eat that poison food. We need to know that this food is not suitable, we need to take another food. So they had problem in somewhere, they tried to solve somewhere other part. So,
question related to this only. According to Islamic law, can we keep giant animals, photos, and things in our house, or photos of giant animals?
What?
Animal photos.
Uh-huh.
Can we give? And second, one more. Are we allowed to draw the photos, Imam Hussein photos?
Okay. There are two questions. In fact, the one question, we can have the photo of animals. Having photo of animals in a house is makruh. It's not haram. But especially where you are praying, it's better not to have anything. Okay? But in terms of the drawing the pictures of our Imams, and nowadays, because you will find the pictures in Karbala, in Iraq, in Iran, pictures of Imam Ali and pictures of various Imams, there is no strict action against that from the marjas. What they said is, do not believe this picture as the imam's picture. Only you can say that this is the art of somebody who designed that his imagination about the imam. That's all you can believe. If you believe that this picture belongs to imam, is not allowed. You have to be careful, because none of us saw the imam and none of us have the picture of imam. It's not perfect. If he did something mistake, means his art, the mistake of that art, not the this one. Somebody should not believe that this is the picture of our imam. No, this is strictly announced in marja's office. Somehow it is better to avoid those things, you know. It's better to avoid those things. Because see, none of us observe the imams, how they were. No. All the things you cannot call the aqidah, you know. Aqidah is mentioned clearly in books. That is our aqidah. Whatever we think, whatever we feel is not aqidah. I'm sorry to say that. So it is better to avoid those things. Because there is not true picture of our imams. So it is better to not have that. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Then you give a respect.
Yes.
But you cannot also think that it's a panic. So
Yes, see, I'm telling you, if we believe that this is the picture of imam, it's not allowed.
You
understand?
But you can just, you know,
give respect. Give respect. Once it is related, give respect. But if once it's spoiling in our minds, then it's better to avoid. That's all. It's a clear, you know, it's a understandable. It's not too difficult to understand that. Our time is finished. We have further 6 or maybe more than 10 questions. Inshallah, sometime later, I will read these questions which came to me, and I will try to somehow answer this, include this answer in our lectures, inshallah.
How we respect Allah?
We are respecting how we are respecting the holy shrines. Exactly how we are respecting holy shrines, we are respecting Allah. But we need to be careful that we should not cross our limits. We should not feel that this is imam. No. No, this is something replica. See, I'm telling you one thing. Why you are respecting the flag of your nation? What is that actually?
Symbol of the union of countries.
Symbol of a country, right? So every country they have symbol. So this is our symbol, because in Karbala we had an alam. From both sides we had alam. Means that alam was representing Yazid's army, and this alam was representing Imam Hussein's army. So we take this as an alam of Imam Hussein's army. So we all should unite under this alam. That's all. Not more than that. So we should respect.
What happens basically, our youths, we have alam, we have naqt, we have photos. So instead of the basic, like Imam Hussein Shahid, we came for namaz. We have seen, even often they mentioned, people come here, they boast naqt, but they avoid prayers. So the meaning is that instead of focusing on the main event, they do all the rituals.
Yes.
But they don't come to the main rituals.
Okay, but it's not, there is a solution for that. Yeah. It's not, it doesn't mean that we should remove all these replicas.
Right.
We need to promote them. We need to make them understand that both things are important, and which is the most important. The most important is the message of Imam Hussein, not the just replica and these things. See, I'm asking you one question. This alam is more important, or the message of Imam Hussein is more important?
Message.
So this alam tells you the message of Imam Hussein, right? So this is the wasila. The purpose is message. So if we are losing the message and sticking with this alam, it's not a logical thing. So we need to make them understand instead of removing our replicas. So we need to create a balance between what we have, and inshallah, I hope that...
You said that we should remove a problem from the root, and this I agree, that root cause analysis should be done for all problems. What I have found in my professional life, that there are a lot of people, everybody here has access to internet, everybody sitting here. Most of the internet sites today, masquerade as Shia sects.
Mm-hmm.
And they are propagating Wahhabism through Shia.
Yeah.
So your question sounded to me like a Wahhabi Shia.
Because of Wahhabi only asked me.
Yes.
So they will try to confuse you with all kinds of things. So first of all, what you should do, or rather what I will do is, have my basics and concepts absolutely correct, and then kick this bastard out.
I recommend you one thing here. There is a book called Our Beliefs. Our Beliefs. Please find out this book and read carefully. That are the perfect our beliefs. And follow strictly to that book. That is our message. Do not listen to anyone. Do not be confused. Go to that book and everything is mentioned and clearly. Read that and get the message and follow it. Inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.